I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, teen girls are showing Washington politicians what it looks like to stand up for what's right. Plus, the reports that teachers are being interrogated for their perceived support of parental rights. And Afghan terrorist or Washington man? Who knows? That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show for $5, and that's it. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided on this Thursday. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz, and are we giving common sense a comeback? You know what? I think we are. It has been awesome to be part of, especially as someone who has no kids. I think that we've taken this real interest in our education system and in trying to improve it. And it's because we all benefit from that. And there's common sense, there's insanity. And we have so much insanity going on. I just have to think that any reasonable person would be able to look at some of this stuff and say, you know what, that's not going to stand, even if you don't have a kid in school or whatever it is. And so, of course, we have been talking a lot about both parental rights and education and this issue of keeping boys out of girls' spaces, keeping boys out of girls' sports. And it has been awesome to watch as one person comes forward, another person being willing to speak out, and another person, and another person, and another person, because bravery really is contagious, and common sense is contagious too. I think a lot of us have it. Fewer of us are willing to actually come out and make it known that you're a sane human being because you're worried about what the insane people will say about you. But man, I got tears in my eyes last night when I was sent this picture from Wenatchee. So you'll know, of course, our friend, 16-year-old Annalee Wilson, who is the first girl that I know of in Washington State who came out publicly to talk about her experience of having to compete against a biological boy. And, you know, it was hard for her to do that at the time. But after she did it, we then saw Frances Stout, who came out and was willing to tell her story, a Tumwater 16-year-old who sat out her final basketball game of the year. And they've been just standing on their own, the two of them at these events with Let's Go Washington for the initiatives. Look at this sight in Wenatchee last night. With these teen girls gathered around Annalee to have her back, quite literally wearing their shirts, keep women's sports female, wearing their XXXY athletic gear. And you know what? I think they know, and I'm sure that their parents told them that there could be a price to pay for them doing that. But they want to be there. They want to be there for themselves. They want to be there for Annalee. And it's almost like we have now this new generation of girls and women fighting for women's rights. And it was really something to see. But the more I look at that, the angrier I am at adults for doing this to them. The angrier I am at adults who stay silent. And you know what? I'm even angrier at the adults who know that what these girls are standing up for is right and don't say anything than I am like the Bob Fergusons of the world and the Nick Browns and the Chris Reichdahl who go out there and say, no, we want boys to compete against girls. They're position is deplorable, but hell, at least they're willing to own it. At least they're willing to come out and say, yeah, we want dudes to compete against chicks, and we'll sue anyone who tries to stop it. I almost have more respect for them. This sounds harsh. I'm sorry. I'm really not sorry, actually. I have more respect for them almost than I do for coaches and teachers and parents and other adults who know that this is wrong and don't say jack shit. Because at this point, you got 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls who have the bravery to stand up, even if it means they're going to go to school the next day and be bullied, even if it means they're going to lose friends like Annalee and Frances have, even if it means they're going to get in trouble or not be able to compete in a sport they love. So they're willing to do it. What's your excuse? I'm sorry, I don't want to start the show by shaming all of you. Well, not all of you. 99% of you are doing the right thing. And you're saying what needs to be said and you're taking the right position. But there are so many people out there in our state who are electing people into office who want boys to compete against girls, who are sitting back and taking this passive position and not saying anything, even though they know it's deeply, deeply wrong. Shame on you. I was happy to see our friend Dave Reichert, the governor we deserved in Wenatchee last night. Real men stand up for women. Real men stand up for girls. And then there's Bob Ferguson. And then there's Bob Ferguson, you know, who was probably bullied by girls and or didn't get any dates in high school. So he's trying to punish girls in some way and making them compete against boys is, I guess, how he carries out his justice. Yeah, great to see Dave Reichert there. I really appreciate him going to stand with Anna Lee and all those young women and their parents who were there as well to show support. And this continues to be a very real issue on a variety of fronts. We got this email that was sent to us by a viewer that Pacific Northwest Swimming, if you're you personally or your child or loved one are involved in competitive swimming, not only at the at this level, but also at the national and worldwide level. This is one of those entities where competitions feed into USA Swimming. So they sent out this email. It's from Chad Winkle, who's the general chair of Pacific Northwest Swimming. It went to parents, swimmers, officials, and coaches. Basically said, boys can compete against girls. And if you don't like it, take your complaints up with someone else. I mean, I get the sense from this email that he doesn't support it. And I'm not going to put words into his mouth, but the way that it's worded here, I mean, it's basically like directing people to call the legislature and complain about this. So it says, moving forward, all PNS swim meets will transition to approved meet status. This ensures that we're able to continue to host meets with USA Swimming technical rules that allow all times of members in good standing of USA Swimming to be added into the swim's database. This also allows us to follow Washington state law for gender identification, allowing athletes to compete as they self-identify. So that's all it takes. I self-identify. Doesn't matter what you've had done, whatever it is, nothing. You self-identify, you can compete against girls. And we all know that that is going to lead to disastrous consequences. I mean, Riley Gaines, probably one of the most famous female athletes to speak out about this issue, was in swimming. And the reality is you just can't compete against someone with arms that are longer than yours, legs that are longer than yours, a body structure that is different from yours. He goes on to say, the PNS board has voted to require all meets to run this way through the end of January. We will reevaluate the process and the current applicable laws and regulations through January to ensure this is the best route for our members at that time. He goes on to say, PNS's main focus is to ensure competitions can occur within our boundaries. Our role is to ensure these competitions happen, and this route ensures we can do so. So it sounds like what they're basically saying is, if we didn't allow this in alignment with state law, we couldn't have the meets at all. So this is a state law issue. And that's why I say it sounds as if he doesn't want it to be, but this is the only way to even have a meet in the first place. We appreciate everyone's understanding as we navigate this difficult situation and appreciate everyone's understanding that this solution might not meet everyone's own personal views. But this route does allow everyone in our LSC to continue to compete, and that is our number one goal as a swim community. If this decision means you no longer wish to compete at upcoming meets, please coordinate with your team and they will coordinate with hosts to ensure your removal from the meets and refund you any meet fees. We understand that this change is coming last minute and that this change might mean some people aren't comfortable with the plan. If you have strong opinions on this issue, I would encourage you to reach out to your state legislature and share those opinions with them so they can navigate this issue with their constituents' opinions in mind. PNS is not the appropriate avenue to share your personal views on this topic. Ah, a little bit of a cop out there. I think it's impacting swimmers who are coming to your meet. People are going to lose opportunities because they simply will not compete against biological boys and men. And so, I think that you should complain to whoever you damn well please. And complaining to the swim organization and complaining to state lawmakers is absolutely a good idea. So just to put that on your radar, the insanity continues. All right, transitioning a little bit, but this issue, of course, has become a pet issue of the Washington Education Association. They have taken a formal position against the two Let's Go Washington initiatives, one to keep boys out of girls' spaces, the other one to restore parental rights so that you know what's happening with your kids at school. Last week, before Thanksgiving, we played some secretly recorded video from inside a WEA meeting where they were talking about strategy. Basically, what is their strategy and their messaging going to be as a union to push back against these horrible, evil initiatives. We played a bunch of clips that got a lot of attention. I thought I'd play yet another one today that we didn't play last week. There was this biology teacher. Well, we know that she has a major in it's most useless, gender studies and biology. So of course she, if she identifies in that way, is absolutely an expert on the topic. And as an expert in biology, one thing she knows for sure is that, you know, biology is just a spectrum.
One of the things that I notice about that is if you're verifying the student's biological sex, relying on one or more of the following, and there's those three things listed, from a scientific standpoint, those three things can conflict with each other. I won't get into all of the specifics of this, but reproductive anatomy, genetic makeup, and testosterone levels are three different things, and those can point in different directions for different people. And so there's a lot about this that's poorly written, but in that case, like when you're relying on one or more of the following and those things conflict with each other, what's the outcome of that going to be? Obviously, these are people who don't have a good understanding of biology to begin with,
well, yes,
but I think that that's a really big weak spot in this initiative, in addition to all of the, you know, horrific discrimination that's happening here. But my degrees are in biology and gender studies, and I read that and I have a lot of red flags going up about how you would actually operationalize that, even if it were, you know, a reasonable thing to be doing to begin with.
You have red flags. I have a lot of red flags from someone who says they have a degree in biology, who says that we wouldn't be able to determine someone's gender through their genetic makeup or their reproductive organs. These are the people teaching your kids biology, okay? These are the people teaching your kids biology. All right, so after that happened, we, of course, were just trying to enjoy our Thanksgiving weekend, and apparently we ruined the WEA's Thanksgiving meeting. The union was very upset that we were playing for the public some of the video of what they said behind the scenes on these meetings about how they're going to fight back against parental rights. They're going to fight to keep boys and girls spaces. They sent out this long email attacking me, calling me right-wing, ultra-conservative, suggesting I took things out of context, even though we just played the videos back for the public to see, calling my reporting triggering and infuriating, and directing WEA staffers how to respond to, quote, conservative teachers who will want to say something about this. So basically admitting within the WEA, it was an internal email that we got our hands on, basically admitting that the union isn't for conservatives, that the conservative teachers are on the outside. And here's a script to respond in case they have a problem with us having a WEA meeting where we talk about how to dismantle parental rights and keep boys and girls sports. Absolutely ridiculous. So after all of that, and I lead up to this, there's been a lot happening behind the scenes. So basically, the WEA is on a witch hunt. They're trying to smoke out moles. They want to know who's giving us information. They want to know who's sending us videos. They want to know who's sending us emails. The good news is it's more and more every day. And so if they want to be on a mole hunt, if they want to smoke out leaks, you know what? That is going to be an endless task for them. Our friend Alicia Perkins with OSD Rescue, who reports on what's happening in our school districts better than anyone in the entire state, she has been contacted by multiple teachers who are fed up with the union, and also hearing from individuals who are basically being interrogated by the union as potential sources of this information or as people who are just in support of the initiatives in general. Alicia Perkins, welcome back to Undivided.
Hey, Brandy.
As I'm sure you saw by the email they sent out before Thanksgiving, the WEA is not too pleased with leaks about its organization.
Right, I did see that. Yeah, not happy about it.
What lengths do you think that they will go to try to find leakers, punish leakers, and are you hearing concern about that?
I'm hearing some concern about it. You know, people are always afraid, teachers especially, about going against the union. They're so powerful. They have such a force. Even teachers who want to speak out, they're afraid of retribution or being ostracized by fellow teachers. I mean, it's a real thing. But, you know, we are seeing some cracks in that. There are a lot of teachers who are saying, I'm done, I'm out. Even if they're not withdrawing at the moment, they're starting to speak up and say, you know, we're not happy with this bullying. And, you know, I heard just last week that a union member was literally interrogated at a union meeting for just attending a Let's Go Washington rally. I don't even know if this individual was for or against the initiatives, but a picture was taken of them. He was asked to explain why he was there. And then he was questioned as to, what his thoughts are on the initiatives. It was an interrogation. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Interrogated. So, I mean, that's curious to me because when we were holding a Let's Go Washington event in Issaquah the other day, there were people identified as teachers outside the event protesting against the initiatives. I mean, if you're going to interrogate people and be fair, then shouldn't they all be interrogated as well?
Right. No, it's okay to be on the other side. It's not
Oh.
okay. Yes, it's not okay apparently to be in favor of the initiatives or even appear to be in favor of the initiatives because, as we all know, the WEA has taken a stand that they are against these initiatives and they expect their members to fall in line.
Yeah. And I know that they're trying to get to the bottom of, who's leaking us stuff, who's sending us emails, who's sending us videos. But the truth is, they might not like to hear that, but every time a teacher comes forward to be a source of information to you or to us, I think that bravery is contagious because then I don't know about you, but we always hear almost immediately from other teachers who want to speak up.
Right. No, I have the same thing. I mean, I was flooded with messages after the WEA videos were leaked. There were actually other people who were in that meeting who were equally concerned, which is why it was originally a court recorded to begin with, because, some individuals were aghast by what was being said, the misinformation, the intentionality around sabotaging, completely logical initiatives. For example, I heard from one coach and I printed it out, a coach in the state that said, I know many, many coaches who feel the same way, but our union has not given any space for any nuance, science, or intellectual honesty on this topic.
Wow.
And, super frustrated about the sports issue.
And I hear that, and I appreciate, I'll say, teachers, coaches who are willing to speak to you, speak to us. I guess part of me, though, doesn't have a lot of sympathy in the sense that there's nothing stopping them from breaking from the union. There's nothing stopping them from leaving the union, from speaking out publicly. I mean, we just saw an event yesterday with, two dozen girls, teen girls, who stood up for themselves, even though they'll probably get bullied over it, they'll probably get hate over it. So I guess, how do we push past that fear that some of these adults have about possible repercussions?
Well, what I've been telling people is clearly there aren't repercussions because teachers can speak out on a variety of personal political issues all the time. I mean, we see people showing up to protests that are obviously teachers. I know some of them. So if that's okay, then you should be able to have a personal opinion the other way as well without any sort of punishment for that. Now, do I want everybody to be political? No, that's one of the things that I've been trying to get out of public ed. But if you're going to go one way, as educators, then you need to accept that other people have different opinions and they can express those as well. And so hopefully that gives some teachers and educators a little bit more courage to speak out publicly. And I am seeing that more. Now, is it vast numbers of people? No. But compared to even 6 months ago, a lot more.
Yeah, and like I said, courage is contagious. But I think the content of that leaked WEA email, the one about me, via the video that you helped us obtain, I think it speaks volumes because it really shows this disdain, actual disdain for anyone they consider to be conservative. I think they use the word right wing a couple times, ultra conservative. In terms of me, someone who I wouldn't consider myself ultra conservative or ultra anything, but also about an issue like boys out of girls sports, which is so common sense. So I actually think, I mean, and I don't know if you've heard from people about that email, to me, that should be the final straw for any educator who considers themselves conservative or even moderate.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that from the top, things have become so radicalized. As we know, people who are really immersed in this, I watch these videos of these conferences, NEA conferences, WEA conferences. It is like watching a religious service. This is no longer about contracts and pay and, regular things that people think unions do. These people really believe that they're drunk on their own power, let's put it that way. And they have adopted a role which is a very, very far left political party, basically. And so if you're a teacher and you're represented by this union and you don't fall into that, you're a problem. And that's, I noticed in that email, they said, this is how you deal with non-members and conservative members. They're
Yes.
the outsiders.
Yes.
And that was really telling. I mean, they're very open about the fact that they have taken a completely obvious political position and ideological positions. And what teachers and other educators, by the way, this is paraeducators, this is secretaries, these are all the education unions have been kind of infected with this. They need to start saying, hey, I'm paying you to represent me for, basic union functions, not to force me to think a certain way, tell me how I'm supposed to vote, and all of this other stuff that's going on.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like, do you represent everyone or not? And that email makes it clear they don't. They do not consider conservatives, even if they're paying members of the union to be insiders, to be in line with the union. One other quick thing, because I think it's just important to note, if this were adults on a Zoom meeting, just talking about their personal opinions amongst each other, whatever it is, even as a teachers union. But these exact ideas, I mean, nobody covers what happens in our schools more than you do. These exact ideas being discussed in this secretly recorded video, whether it's this woman who says, I couldn't even sequence a gene, a DNA, and figure out what your gender is, and totally misinformed on what intersex means. Those things are being taught to kids in school.
That was honestly the most concerning thing to me with those videos was there were at least two science teachers that made the claims that we just simply don't know what sex is. Ridiculous claims. And these are active science teachers to your kids. I was sent an example a couple months ago from a classroom wall at North Thurston High School in a science class where the teacher has used an example of how to use prefixes like pan or bi in scientific terms and slipped in bisexual and pansexual, things that have absolutely nothing to do really with science, but they're finding a way to slip it in these science categories. And so what's concerning to me is these science people that are propagating this lie that we don't know what sex is and that it's this, spectrum that's just a mystery. And they keep using this intersex argument, which is really upsetting because, yes, there are intersex people. It's actually called disorders of sexual development. But those individuals are, in fact, male or female, just like all mammals are male or female. They have a condition, and those conditions are extremely rare. But those individuals are being used as pawns, as a rationale for this spectrum. And so, what I'm telling parents is, look, you're going to have to re-educate your kids on a lot of this. That's just a fact, especially if you're in Washington State public schools. So, you're going to need to find resources and re-educate your kids on what they're learning in some of these classes all throughout. What I've been recommending that I have found very helpful is the Paradox Institute. It's the paradoxinstitute.org. They do a fabulous job on restoring reality to science education. They have wonderful videos in layman's terms that parents can watch with their kids that explain all this stuff. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is you're going to have to re-educate your kids because this is what's being taught.
Wild. You got to pay for the public schools, and then you got to spend extra time teaching your kids basic biology because the schools won't do it. And that intersex argument, we're going to continue to hear that as these initiatives move forward. And even the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, he keeps going back to that because he knows intersex is, an actual thing. But the rest of it, the real problem that we're discussing, is total nonsense. And they can't find a reasonable way to defend it. All right, Alicia Perkins, great stuff. And let us know the next time you've got a brave teacher who wants to come forward.
Will do. Thanks, Brandy.
Yeah, what she said there about hearing that teachers are essentially being interrogated by, union leaders or people in the union about, oh, do you support these initiatives? This is wild stuff. It's like the mafia. I mean, the teachers' union is like the freaking mafia. And then you've got these teachers whose money, their hard-earned money that's being taken for their dues, is basically being used to undermine them, to undermine their professionalism, to undermine perhaps their personal values. So coming up next, we're going to talk about, we've been giving you more and more steps to leave the union, if you choose to do so, and answering some of your kind of frequently asked questions for concerns about, if I leave the union, then will this happen or this happen? And not just the teachers union, by the way, any union. So we'll talk about that coming up next with the CEO of the Teacher Freedom Alliance. First, if you are a small to mid-size housing provider in the state of Washington, if you're a landlord with a couple units, maybe a dozen or so, RHA is for you. They are your advocate down in Olympia to make sure that your interests are being heard by lawmakers there who have been passing all sorts of asinine policies like rent control, which is just going to lead to a worsening housing crisis in the state. But also, they can help you one-on-one if you're just trying to navigate new rules and regulations, making sure you're doing everything above board. They can help you through that and the paperwork and all of that as well. So it's just a good entity to have on your team as a housing provider. So go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org, become a member today. RHA, empowering housing providers. Okay, so let's share this website quick again, actually, just so people have it and you can bookmark market. Optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com is a fantastic resource to go to be able to find an easy way to opt out of any union. So you just click on your state, wherever you're at, and then it'll come up and it'll show you what some of the concerns are, some of the steps you might have to take. It'll answer frequently asked questions, etc. But this week on Sundays with Subscribers, we're having on Ryan Walters. He's the CEO of Teacher Freedom Alliance. He's the former superintendent of public instruction for the state of Oklahoma. So he was in charge of public instruction in Oklahoma. Did that job. Now he's the CEO of the Teacher Freedom Alliance, and he has dedicated his life and career now to trying to help teachers escape teachers unions and try to reduce the power of teachers unions. And so even if you're not a teacher, or you're like, Brandy, you know, I don't care about this issue, teachers unions have so much power in a state like Washington. They influence public policy on everything. Think about the initiatives that the teachers union has been working to try to defeat. It goes well outside the realm of education on climate issues. They are some of the biggest financial backers for basically any sort of effort to push new taxes. The teachers union in our state has made your life so much more expensive. And so one of the best ways to stop or limit the power of the teachers union to influence all sorts of public policy is to get more and more teachers to leave the union, is to cost them more and more dues, is to reduce the money that they have to play with, basically. So they have so little money, they can't spend it propping up all these political things and new laws that they want pushed through. And so one of the things that Ryan Walters and I are going to get into in depth on Sunday is, what is stopping these teachers, especially like reasonable, moderate, conservative people who don't agree with this ideological nonsense? What is really standing in the way of them leaving the union? And how does an entity like the Teacher Freedom Alliance step in to fill the void? What are some of the common concerns that teachers who don't share or don't want to pay into that, really, what are some of the concerns they have, though, about just, you know, pulling the trigger and leaving the union?
Yeah, so, and this was the thing, is we work with the Freedom Foundation, and they came to me, and we were looking at all this, and they were like, look, we get people to leave the unions in record numbers. The most expensive group of public sector employees that we get to leave are teachers. Mm-hmm. It costs nearly 4-to-1 to get a teacher to leave the union than it does everybody else in the public sector. And so, you know, we did a deep dive into that. Well, why? You know, well, why is it such a struggle to get them to leave? Well, there are a few things that the union has beat into their head. Number one is liability insurance. Well, if you leave and you get sued, you're going to get sued for millions of dollars. You don't have any help or support. Well, our organization stepped in and go, liability insurance is very cheap. Mm-hmm. We'll cover that for you. Like that is a very, your dues are paying for all this political activity and all these other things. Liability insurance is very cheap. The other thing they are concerned about is, if we leave, again, are we going to be attacked by the union itself, by left-wing school administrators? And we've seen a lot of examples of that. And that's where our organization steps in and says, hey, we're going to fight for you, whether it's legally, whether it's, you know, the fights of trying to pressure you or target you. But the teachers that are in our schools now know very well how nasty that union is, yeah, what they will do to keep you in the union. And so those are a lot of the things that they get concerned about: liability insurance, the attacks that come in. There's one other thing that I think is a fascinating piece. teachers to keep their certifications have to continue doing X amount of trainings a year. So it differs state by state, 12 to 18 hours worth of credits a year. Most states allow the teachers' unions to have a complete monopoly on that. So let's say you leave. You have to go begging back to the union for the training to keep your certificate and then pay them for the training. So I want you to think about, I mean, if you're a teacher, you're going, well, I mean, it's like the Hotel California. I can check out, but I never really leave. I've got to go back to them for all these things. So we also offer all those professional development hours. We offer any kind of training that they need. Again, we're very interactive with the teachers, and the teachers are very appreciative because they always say the trainings they provide are nonsense. They're a bunch of left-wing activism. It's not about how to teach math better. It's not about how to make sure kids are reading proficient and what to do if they fall behind. That's not what we're getting here. What we're getting are their left-wing activists, and you see it time and time again. So they're also very appreciative of that. But those are some of the things the union has done, working with state policymakers and using their political power to basically make the system function around them. And even if you leave, they feed you right back into it.
Is that the best reference you've ever heard in your life about the teachers' union? It's like the Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. You can leave. You just have to make sure that you have someone in your corner. And this is important for us to discuss because we complain a lot about, and that's my job, right? Podcasters, talking heads, we're like professional complainers. But I think we want to all be more than that. We want to say, okay, what is the action end of that? Like on girls' sports, I can complain and talk about how stupid it is that they let boys compete against girls, but what's the action end of that? Well, we're gonna go out, we're gonna help with the initiatives, we're gonna hold these events, we're gonna give platforms to these young athletes so they can share their story, so hopefully people will start to listen. And so I can complain about the teachers' union, I can call it the most dangerous entity in the state of Washington, I can tell you that you should leave, but then you're like, okay, now I'm on my own. You're not on your own, okay? You're not on your own. And this organization, and us as well, we're great resources for you to be able to get your questions answered. And so you're going to hear at length from Ryan Walters on Sundays with Subscribers this week. He's great. Love this guy and his little accent. So go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com to become a subscriber. It's helping to support our work, but also get access every week to those in-depth exclusive interviews. And so sign up for that. And then, of course, bookmark it, do whatever you need to do, email it, send it to your friends who are in education or who are in any union like SEIU. Optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com. It is like the simplest, most user-friendly website. Click on your state. You don't have to be in Washington. Click on your state. It auto-populates a whole list of the unions. Find your union, click on the union. It has a form, it has frequently asked questions. And as Ryan Walters alluded to there, the things that you will lose by leaving the union, the insurance aspect of it, the class hours that you need to continue up to date with things in order to keep your teaching certificate, whatever it is, they can help you with all that and they do it for free. So it's really awesome. Optouttoday.com, optouttoday.com. More about that on Sunday. Crazy story coming up next. Should I be surprised? Probably not. The new socialist mayor in Seattle is coming to the defense of an immigrant who's detained at the immigrant detention center in SeaTac. But did she really know the background of the man who she's defending as the city's new mayor-elect? I don't know. Maybe she did. We'll discuss. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. He's got a ton of good reviews from undivided viewers and listeners. 5 stars everywhere. And that's because what Wes and his team do is, first of all, I think very unique in the real estate industry. But I always hear from people that the communication and the respect that they show to you and your home and your input on how to make sure that the sale goes well is just second to none. This is from Elizabeth W. She said, I'm so glad I found them. They were exactly what I was looking for when I needed to sell my condo. Working with them was stress-free, no pressure. They gave her recommendations on improvements to make to her house, what would be worth it, what might not be worth it, like staging. They gave her two options. Hey, we can, pay to stage the house, or else we can go with this virtual option, which is so interesting, isn't it? Have you seen these? They can just virtually stage your house so the pictures look like there's furniture in there. Speaking of AI, which we're going to talk about later on in the show, she said, I love how they offered the exact support that I needed without any pressure whatsoever. They were quick to respond to a few hiccups we had after I emptied the apartment and were overall just amazing to work with. I appreciate all the support for a quick and easy sale. So she sold her condo, had a wonderful experience with Wes and his team. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, she's already at it. Katie Wilson, the socialist, hasn't even been sworn in yet as the new mayor of Seattle, and she's already doing what a good mayor of Seattle does, defend violent criminals. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, so Wilson has been busy on her transition team, assembling a crack A team who's going to definitely be good for the city, sure. But they took the time to send this out on her transition account. It is a statement from Katie Wilson. Yesterday, I was appalled by the dehumanizing language the President of the United States used to describe members of our nation's Somali community. Today, I've learned that ICE intends to deport Greggy Sorio, who's been held for months at the Northwest Detention Center without proper medical care, despite his precarious physical condition. We must not allow this repeated and intensifying cruelty to become normalized. I stand in solidarity with our immigrant communities who are under attack from the very government that should be protecting their human and civil rights. As mayor, I will do everything I can to stand with the targets of this needless aggression. I will work to make sure that every resident of our city feels safe, secure, and respected. Interesting. I will work to make sure that every resident of our city feels safe, secure, and respected. So she very specifically calls out this guy named Greggy QG Sorio. And she says what he's been through is horrible. At the detention center for months. Held there for months. Not getting the care that he needs. He's fragile. He's in a fragile state. Yeah, he's also a violent criminal. So back in March, ICE sent out information about this Greggy Sorio, 36 years old. He'd been taken into custody in Alaska. It says ICE Seattle arrests criminal aliens across the Pacific Northwest. Greggy Sorio, a citizen of the Philippines, was arrested in Alaska after being convicted by the state for assault, theft, burglary, reckless endangerment, and violation of a domestic violence protection order. These are the people Katie Wilson cares about. These are the people who Katie Wilson wants to be treated with dignity and respect. Illegal aliens who beat women, who burglarize businesses, who assault people. And she has the audacity to end her statement with, I will work to make sure that every resident of our city feels safe, secure, and respected. Do you think the woman he beat feels respected? Do you think the business he burglarized feels safe, secure, and respected? Do you think any crime victim is going to feel safe, secure, and respected in a city with a police abolitionist as mayor who takes time to individually call out the name of an illegal alien with a long criminal history who's going to be deported from this country and express sympathy for him, but not sympathy for any of his victims? One time. I challenge you. This is your homework for the day, just because I don't want to do it, because it'd take a while. Go find me one statement where Katie Wilson ever, I can go back to her time in the transit, working on a transit blog. Find me one time where she has named the victim of a crime. One time where she has individually named the victim of a crime and expressed any sort of sympathy for them. I bet it doesn't exist. I could be wrong. Maybe a bicyclist got hit by something sometime and she probably expressed sympathy for the bicyclist as a transit blogger, which, you know, okay. But I bet it doesn't exist. They care about criminals. They don't care about you. And that's very clear. Did she know his background? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because as mayor, your words matter. And if you're going to feign sympathy for someone, don't you think you ought to take the extra step to say, well, let me make sure I understand who I'm expressing sympathy for? I know I would, just the responsible thing to do, right? So whether she knew or didn't know is equally as bad. Meanwhile, so she's talking about the inhumanity at these immigrant detention facilities. And this has been a common theme of progressives and socialists. They don't like the privately run detention facilities. They've wanted them to be abolished for a long time. But in reality, they just don't want, they don't want there to be immigration laws. That's really the truth here. And I think that's clear with, so Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of our state and the chair of the House Progressive Caucus, she is introducing a new bill. And basically what she's framing it as is the bill would restore humanity to immigrant detention. But if you listen very closely to what she says, it's clear what she actually wants. She just wants to dismantle the Department of Homeland Security and all its facets.
Enough. Our Dignity for Detained Immigrants Act has a remarkable, unprecedented 123 original co-sponsors. Before we've even introduced it, 123 co-sponsors, and it overhauls the detention system. It drastically scales back the use of detention. It ensures that every single immigrant who is in detention has their human and civil rights protected. Our bill also phases out the use of private for-profit detention centers. It prohibits the detention of children and families and makes it harder to detain primary caregivers and vulnerable people like pregnant women or seniors or workers who are whistleblowing on unscrupulous employers.
And we don't want to detain moms, families, children, workers, primary caregivers, sick people, the elderly. She's basically trying to make it so that there are entire swaths of illegals who can't be detained. And if they can't be detained, then they're not going to be able to be deported. And that really is the underlying thing here, is they want to get rid of this idea that you're illegal in the United States. And again, I go back to someone like this guy who's been detained at the facility in Tukwila for a few months now. This is someone who came into our country illegally, assaulted someone in an act of domestic violence, committed theft, burglary, reckless endangerment. And those are the people who Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal wants to make sure are treated better. Do you ever hear her ever talking about crime victims who are citizens of our state, who are Seattleites in the district that she represents? They don't ever talk about that. And so I think it just shows is that what they really want is the dismantling of our immigration process and our system. They want lawlessness. Because if there's lawlessness, there is more room for the government to step in and say, we'll be the ones to restore order. And they restore order by taking your rights away. That's what it's all about. They restore order by basically making it so that they're the only ones who would ever be in a position to be able to make you feel safe. It's just wild stuff. Oh, and then the media, just to turn the knife. No matter that, no wonder they get away with it. The media has headlines like this. Como News, which sadly is one of the good TV stations. If I had to rank the Seattle TV stations in order of sucks the most to sucks the least, Como probably sucks the least. Here's their headline on the Afghan who drove from Washington State to D.C. and murdered a National Guardsman and critically injured another. Washington man, accused of shooting D.C. National Guard members, pleads not guilty to murder. Now he's one of us. Washington man. I need to put together a montage of all the headlines where they've called a dangerous, violent, illegal alien Washington man, or some version of it. Remember they called Paco Olympia man, and he was a wanted murderer from Mexico? Oh, Olympia man, farmer, business owner. No, he's a wanted illegal alien from Mexico. So the media is not doing us any favors either. And Como News. That's really sad when that's the least bad of the TV stations. It's really sad. All right. Coming up next, we'll talk about President Trump rolling back some Biden fuel standards and what that means for you. First, with talk of an AI bubble, are you concerned about the risk exposure of your retirement portfolio? I think we should all be concerned about it, right? Or at least have some questions about, is my retirement portfolio properly protected against risk? Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital can help you figure that out and talk to you about how to best protect your investments. So schedule a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach and his team. They'll talk about the impact AI is having on the market right now, give you a preview for the year to come, talk about how critical Bulwark's deployment of value investing is to retirement portfolios, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. And they'll just really talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. Schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And while you're there, subscribe to Zach's Daily Market Recap. Again, that's knowyourriskpodcast.com. It was really funny. We were talking to Zach yesterday, and he had this huge smile on his face when we were chatting with him. I'm like, what's going on with you today? He had like the one of the best days ever in the stocks, because back when the Sydney Sweeney thing happened with American Eagle, they took a look at the stocks and thought, you know, we should buy this right now because it's very reasonably priced. And then it just, he like doubled his money in 6 weeks or something. And he said the sweetest part about it, we're going to talk about it on Swamp Watch this week. He said the best part about it is we doubled our money on liberal tears. And I was like, you know, you really bought a winner there. So he was just so happy about it. Not necessarily because of the money aspect, but just because of what it was. And I was like, good for you, Zach. Good for you. That's why he does that. And that's why I do this. All right. National news. Trump making an announcement. There's some funny stuff about this that we'll get to, but So Trump making announcement that he's going to reset the corporate average fuel economy called the CAFE standards that President Biden put into place. And this really did a few things. I mean, it definitely made buying a gas vehicle more expensive because it put these really onerous standards on manufacturers for when it came to increase in annual efficiency. So every year that went by, there had to be a 2% increase in fuel efficiency. And the car manufacturers are basically like, what the hell? And the idea under Biden was to push people toward EVs, right? Oh, we want people in EVs, but EVs are more expensive to make, they're more expensive to buy, and it really just screwed things up for manufacturers and therefore the American consumer. So Trump's like, no more. You know what? And I saw somebody put this out. I don't know if this has to do with this, but is that why they put that stupid button on cars that does the auto stop? If they take off the auto stop button, it might be the best EO he's ever done since the plastic straw EO. You know the thing that makes you, when you get to a light, your car, kind of the engine shuts off?
Oh, yes.
Get rid of that. And every time I get in the car, I can't turn it off permanently. Every time I have to get in the car, I hit it off. I hate it so much. It bothers me so much. And I guarantee that was some way to like extend the average fuel efficiency per mile. Probably has something to do with it. That button can go to hell. And I'd like to get rid of it. That, the plastic straws. Horrible, horrible inventions. So this is a fact sheet from the White House and what they say this is all about and what it'll do. It says the Biden administration created extraordinarily stringent fuel economy standards for passenger cars and trucks, set at such aggressive levels that they were impossible to meet with available technology for gas cars. The Biden standards would have compelled widespread shifts to EVs that American consumers did not ask for. And frankly, some of us either don't want them or we can't have them. They're not conducive to our lifestyle, accompanied by significant cost of living increases. Since EVs are so expensive to build, automakers must sell them at a loss and make up the difference by significantly raising the sticker price of gas cars. If President Trump had done nothing, the White House says the Biden standards would have raised the average cost of a new car by nearly $1,000. President Trump's actions will save Americans $109 billion in total over the next 5 years. That, I guess, is the estimate from the White House. I'm not sure how they came to that figure. And so they said by helping more Americans buy newer, safer vehicles, the reset is projected to save more than 1,500 lives and prevent nearly 250,000 serious injuries. I also don't know how they came to that statistic. So just a little asterisk on that. I'm not sure how you figure that one out. But, you know, I'm all on board with let people buy the freaking car they want to buy. Let people buy the freaking car they want to buy. And if we had EVs that had that, you know, one of the issues obviously is range, right? I mean, there's a variety of issues, but range. What if the power goes out? Cold weather issues, battery issues, infrastructure to charge them. How many people do you hear complain about, like, I don't have anywhere on the road to charge my car? Two people had their EVs run out of electricity on their way to my wedding. Two people.
They did.
One of them was Jason Rance. His Tesla ran out of batteries. He got it from Hertz and it just like, what, wasn't charged or something? So there's a lot of issues. And if the technology isn't there, you can't put these mandates down. Like Jay Inslee had this goal to get to 100% EV vehicles by a certain date. It's not even feasible. So you just say it because it sounds nice, but it's not even feasible to do. It's crazy.
You know, it's funny. I rented a car recently and I never picked the SUV, but I or the electric car, but yeah. they had like, I'd let it pick itself or whatever. Oh, and so they tried to give it to me. And when I got there, she was like, you got an electric car. Are you sure you want that? And I was like, no. Oh, no, I probably don't. And she's like, and I said, well, actually, do I want it? And, she, you know, like maybe I should take it like if it's that much cheaper because it was going to add quite a bit to not have it. And she goes, yeah, you probably don't. We don't have a charger for it. And I was like, what? You don't have a charger
then
for it?
What are you going to send it
and
with me
I
for?
Was like, so how am I supposed to charge it? And she goes, well, you'd have to find one. And so I said,
on the road.
Well,
yeah,
like, because they don't have the converter. So you have to find the one that fits them.
Yeah.
And I said, well, why wouldn't you have a converter? And she's like, well, people take them or lose them and we don't replace them. So you, then you just have to find them. I'm like, but they're required to stock them. But then they just, like, people lose them or don't get them or whatever.
And people don't want restock, it.
And nobody rents them. So nobody they just don't rents replace them.
No. I would go to my dealer, they give me, and they look at me, at my dealership. They know me, right? And they're fans of the show. And whenever I'm coming, I'm like, I really need a loaner today while you do work on my car because I just have all these things to do. And the look on their face when they have to give me an electric vehicle, they know I don't like it, but sometimes it's the only one that they have.
Make it better.
So this was funny. So Trump was at a press conference in the Oval Office announcing this, and Ford was there, and Ford said it was going to invest $5 billion into production in Kentucky and Michigan. And this was President Trump's response.
Dollars are now being invested in the American auto industry. Ford has announced it will invest $5 billion across its Kentucky and Michigan plants. Is that a correct statement?
That's right.
That's a lot, $5 billion. You could do more.
Never enough. Never. I love it. He's always a deal maker. And sometimes that works. Didn't he do that with the Crown Prince? He's like, let's make it a trillion, you know? Or he's done that a couple times. And it works out for them. I think he did that with tech as well. So, we'll see how this translates for people. I think one of the frustrating elements of this kind of policy, though, is that every 4 years, you know, if you get a different president from a different political party and they want to do something different, it's hard. How does a manufacturer keep up with that? Because you're changing your whole, you know, lines and production based on these rules and regulations. And then 4 years later, you got to change it again. If it's a Democrat who wins in 2028, you got to change it back. How do you keep up with that without going out of business? It's really, really challenging. And that's why making laws and policies based on not only common sense, but what's feasible. Instead of doing something because it sounds nice to my base, let's really think about, is this feasible? And if it's not feasible, should we push it out a little more? Should we wait until it is feasible and then put the regulations in place? But that's not how politics works these days. Just stupid. A place that's less stupid, however, is the state of Florida. Every Thursday, we talk to my sister in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Wowza, Blondie over here. You just want to be like me. I went blonder, so you have to one-up me. That's bleach blonde.
Yes, it's very, like, cool blonde, but, you know, I like it.
Well, I guess I'll have to dye my hair again. Next time you see me, it'll be white. All right, let's talk about AI. Getting a lot of attention to here. We just had a socialist who went on rants about AI because it's meant to displace human labor or whatever it is. But Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, sorry, put some respect on his name, is concerned about AI, I think, for broader reasons. That I think everybody's concerned about AI and the bad ways that it can be used, right? So DeSantis is trying to take proactive steps to protect people.
Yeah, so he has proposed a citizen bill of rights for AI, which covers a very broad spectrum of issues that may potentially be a problem or are already a problem. He had a press conference about it this morning.
Is the same insight the founding fathers had when they founded the United States of America. Human nature is flawed. And so when they were creating a government, they had to articulate the core principles that our rights come from God, not from the government, that the purpose of government is to protect those pre-existing rights, that we have a rule of law, not the whim of individuals. But the reason why they went and created the structure that they did to try to get those values enshrined in a constitution is because they wanted to make sure that the government operated with a proper understanding of human nature. You would never create government power and just hope people do the right thing. They expected people to not do the right thing. So when you're talking about AI, these are massive companies. In some respects, they have more power than governments in certain avenues of this. But there is nothing new about human nature. The founders would not have conceived of any of these social media, you know, chat bots, none of that. But at the same time, human nature being what it is, you're going to have the same dangers of power being abused. It's just in a different sphere.
So in some of the kind of Bill of Rights to protect people from how AI could be used make a lot of sense. So give me a couple examples.
So a couple of the examples are disclosure requirements. For example, there's a lot of law firms that use AI to write, do a lot of underwriting, do a lot of contract writing. So if you use AI, you have to disclose that AI was used to write some of these contracts.
Love it. I think what it seems like he's getting at is like people have a right to know whether they are interacting in some sort of substantial way with AI and not a human being. And I think hiding that from people is really the core problem here.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think at this point, it's such a new thing. Most people want the human interaction. I don't think people have a broad trust that robots are going to take into consideration all the gray area of being a human in a lot of these industries. So I think that the disclosure, just making sure people know that they're working with an AI, reading AI writing, or decisions are being made by AI, I think is just good business practice.
Yeah.
Well, this also goes on to kind of talk about, you know, repercussions of misusing AI, misrepresenting things, misinformation, and also holding people accountable for using AI as like slanderous material.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to put out some video and you label it AI, I don't care. Make whatever crazy video you want. But I've gotten in the practice of if somebody puts out something that's obviously AI or that I find out to be AI and it hasn't labeled, I mute that person, I block that person, I remove them in any way that I can, because it is that element for companies too. You should want to be transparent because there's a trust factor. And once you break that trust, like, oh, that's AI, I'm done with you, right? So I think this is all good and a good thing to be thinking about. All right. So in Florida, I think it's the attorney general, right? Or is it your CFO?
It is our CFO.
CFO, my apologies. Your CFO is trying to work on ways basically to eliminate any existing financial incentives for people to be in the state illegally, such as?
Yeah, so not just incentives, but like implications as well. Mm-hmm. So for example, one of them would be workers' comp. The current state statute allows illegal immigrants to collect workers' comp if they are injured on a job, even if they are hired under the table, hired illegally.
Legislation proposed will remove illegal aliens as covered employees from the workers' compensation definitions and statutes. Florida statute actually says that if you are an illegal immigrant and you are working here in the state of Florida and you get hurt, you're awarded workers' compensation. You can file a claim. We don't think that's right. We think that that needs to be removed from Florida statute.
There also should be some punishment for the employer, though, right? Because they're hiring someone knowing if they get hurt, there's not workers' comp for them. So I think, yes, it's about disincentivizing illegals from working here because there's no protections for them, unlike Washington, where we'd probably, you know, give them 10 years unemployment benefits and paid leave. So that makes sense. Another one, and I'm kind of surprised some of this exists in Florida law. So one of the other ones has to do with limiting even non-government entities helping illegals, for example, buy a home, right?
Yeah, very specifically down payment assistance programs or secondary mortgage assistance programs. Apparently there has been ways, not just in Florida, I think Florida uses what happens in other states very much as like a home ground for be like, we don't want to do this or we want to be more like this. So he referenced a couple states that allow this. So I don't think it is specifically something that can be done in Florida, but there's no laws that prohibit it. So I think he's just getting a jump on it.
Our housing agencies don't do that, but there is nothing on the books in terms of a law that prohibits that. So our legislation will ban illegal aliens from benefiting from any down payment assistance programs or silent second home mortgages, whether it is done by a government agency, a quasi-government agency, or an NGO. Because some of these nonprofits will go out and they will create these programs specifically to go out and target illegal immigrants for down payment so they can purchase homes.
And I agree that even if it's an NGO, I'm not super into sort of government overreach, but these are, you're basically helping to harbor an illegal. You're helping to harbor them and anchor them here with a new house Do your donors know that's what the money is being used for? And I'm sure in Washington State, through some of our programs, like the Community Reinvestment Program, I guarantee some of that money has gone to illegals, because here they're treated no differently. All right, let's do a fun one. Gator wrangling is a pretty common thing in Florida, but it took, what, a dozen police officers to wrangle this massive gator?
Huge gator. He's like 14 feet long, 600 pounds. He just kind of wandered into somebody's yard, and, you know, nobody wants to open their door and see a giant gator. So they call in gator trappers, who usually call in police for backup. And it took quite a few of them to load this thing up into the back of a truck and move it to a gator farm.
We haven't done one of these in a while. I just think it's fun occasionally. And Seattle police officers would be forced to, like, first read the gator its Miranda rights. And then they would have to call PETA and have PETA observers be there to make sure that the gator is handled with care. And then they'd have to read stolen land. We are on stolen land. And then they'd have to return it to stolen land and also read the stolen land acknowledgement. It would be quite an ordeal here.
No, here it's just a normal Tuesday business for our police officers to hoist a gator into the back of a truck and drive it away.
Love it. Love it. All right, Miranda, thank you so much.
Have a good week.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Interesting that some of those things are still or are law or aren't, like, explicitly prohibited under Florida law regarding immigrants and what they can benefit from, because I thought for sure, like, Florida's got all that taken care of. But that was an interesting point that they raise about NGOs or anyone really not affiliated or not getting taxpayer money, or for instance, like, should they be able to use, if people want to donate to an organization that helps immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, should they be able to use that money to help illegals? Because is it like an aiding and abetting situation? So I asked subscribers in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X, another benefit of being a subscriber, should private nonprofits be able to provide housing assistance to illegal aliens? Because I don't like, you know, government overreach. But at the same time, I mean, aren't they getting tax breaks and stuff? How can you spend money on someone who's here illegally? Nicole, what do you think? Yes or no?
So for the down payments, things like that, I mean, as a homeowner, you're going to, I mean, I don't know. I think you're going to have to, that's going to be taking from system somehow. I don't know. It seems, I don't know. You're also giving into the system. I don't know.
I think you should do it, but you'd have to lose your tax exempt status. I don't think that you should be able to get tax breaks if you're helping illegals.
Yeah.
So that you can, sure, yeah, you can give them money, but you're going to lose your tax breaks.
That makes sense.
Maybe. A lot of you guys, 83%, saying, no, you shouldn't be able to provide housing to illegals, even if you're a nonprofit. El Jefe says, still breaking the law, and he's the El Jefe, so he would know.
Yeah.
Let's see, Casey and Seebeck. I said no, because they would be supporting people that are breaking the law, and I'm sure the nonprofits would be somehow getting taxpayer money from the Democrats and the socialists. Yeah, a lot of nonprofits do still get taxpayer funds, obviously. Harold, I don't like it, but if they're using their private money, they can do with it as they will, but this should not shield them from repercussions of their potentially illegal actions. Dale, no, and they should be charged with harboring an illegal alien. Kathleen, I'm assuming they're already doing it. And yeah, the guy said, the CFO in Florida said other states allow this. I'm assuming they're already doing it. I'm guessing no one is being audited. They are already giving out free foil pipes and needles in bags with MLK's face on them. Seattle and King County has turned into a charitable institution that will break the backs of the middle class. Yeah, well, actually, Seattle's going to stop handing out those kits with MLK's face on them, which is a good development. Let's see, Audi R8 guy, no, it is against federal law for them to be here. Therefore, housing them would be breaking the law. Besides, how many nonprofits don't get some sort of tax money from the government? And how can we be sure those funds are not being commingled if they are? Also, I see people referring to them as undocumented immigrants. If they are here illegally, they are not undocumented. They are breaking the law and therefore illegal. Yeah, the phrase undocumented is stupid. I think I used it a lot in mainstream media because we weren't allowed to say illegal alien, so I got into the habit of it. But undocumented is like, you know, I have a document, I just don't have it on me, or I don't have it properly prepared for you. No, they're here illegally, so let's not call them undocumented. Let's read a couple more here. Matthew Cook, I voted no. It's aiding and abetting a crime. Greg A., if they use their own money and not government funds, they can do whatever they want. But they should also be prepared for the consequences of being invaded by ICE. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you give them a place to live, shack up, and then ICE comes with a ram and breaks your door. You're on the hook for paying for that
door.
You would
think
Sorry.
That would put them on the radar. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But, I mean, you know, our state gives... Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, but they're not a sanctuary state.
Our government gives, in our state, mm-hmm. illegal aliens benefits like healthcare mm-hmm. and legal aid. So, like, they just out in the open. I mean, that shouldn't be, we shouldn't do that, but, you know. So if our government can do it, you definitely can't stop nonprofits from doing it.
Right.
All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. You guys are quite active on the stream today. First, our wonderful sponsors at Valentine Roofing have just been named the best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest for a third year in a row, and that's because we only partner with the best here on Undivided. They can do a variety of things for you, including, right now, custom holiday lights. Still a lot of time to get that done before Christmas. I finally got my tree up, not custom holiday lights, although I should. I think next year, that's my plan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell Mike we're going to reach out to Valentine next year and plan for them to come and install some custom holiday lights. But they can also, of course, help you with a variety of other things, including scheduling time to get a new roof. So you can get that on the books now, maybe get it done a little closer to the or into the new year. And if you have a leak and you think you need a new roof, you might not. They can come out and check it out. If your roof can be repaired, they won't try to push you into a new roof. They'll just repair your roof and move on with your life. I know Valentine's also coming to my house in a couple weeks to do gutter cleaning, because those leaves, man, once they all fall down, I know they're jam-packed in there. So they can do that. They can do attic insulation, even exterior cleaning. And they have flexible financing options, including zero down, 0% interest. So taking care of your home has never been easier. Schedule your free estimate by calling 206-ROOFING. That's 206-ROOFING, and tell them that you heard about them here on Undivided. We always appreciate you doing business with the people who do business with us. All right, some comments from the stream today. Old Sub Sailor, the kids are braver than most adults. I agree. And that's hard. Putting yourself out there as a kid? That's why I kind of am losing sympathy with adults who are like, I have to be quiet about this. No, you don't. Sorry. Moon Goddess, these girls are stormtroopers. They're awesome. Free Washington citizens that Democrats hold hostage fund. Boys allowed to swim as girls. Lynn Blevins, my grandson is a competitive swimmer now in college. Thank goodness he's a boy. Anyone who has ever been at a swim meet would know there is a huge difference between boys and girls' times. Yeah, not even close. Let's see here. On teachers being harassed by the union for supporting initiatives and all sorts of other things. David Prince, a $20 super chat. Thank you, sir. The term intersex has been appropriated and redefined to include any genital aberration. Those with a DSD do not want to be associated with this ideology and even see this term as offensive. Interesting. Yeah, I have to look more into that issue. Alicia's like dug into it quite a bit. Because she's so bothered by it. Because they're using it for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, some of these people are intersex. And it's like, yes, that's true. Very small and not what we're talking about here. It's never been
not
what we're talking
what
about.
We're talking about.
Let's see. Julie B. Follow the money. WEA has its fingers in the pie at the state DOR. The estate tax dollars go into the Education Legacy Trust Fund. Oh, 100% they got their fingers in the pie. Julie Kennedy. Lots of Julies on the stream today. Why do they care about the leaks? Shouldn't they be proud of what they believe in and say? That's the thing. It's like, oh, if you really are proud of your biology and gender studies degree and all the stuff that you've learned about how biology can't be determined by your DNA, why not share it publicly? Right. What's the problem here? Dan Platt, teachers' unions need to be reformed. They aren't supporting children or their basic learning skills. Instead, the union has become a political tool for the Democrat machine here in Washington. I agree with that. It's hard to deny. William, the distraction of this issue works. Nobody's talking about the abysmal test results nationwide, children without the skills to succeed in life. I disagree, because we do talk about test scores quite a bit on this show. Other people might be ignoring it. But I used to look at this as maybe a distraction issue because it affects so few, you know, students. But no, this is an absolute barometer for whether we can get back to sanity as a nation. It's like, if you can't even tell me that boys shouldn't be playing against girls, why am I listening to you on literally anything else? It's a barometer for me. It's a litmus test, and it's a big deal. All right. On the socialist Katie Wilson defending the criminal illegal alien and his treatment. Oh, Joe Wilson, Brandy, do you honestly think about running for office? Watching your no-nonsense, no-BS approach would be great to see debating these commie libs. I think it would wake people up and start a movement. Yeah, I've talked on the show. I have thought about running for office. It's something I might do in the future. Do you think the teachers' union will endorse my campaign? Is that a no? Do you think the stranger will endorse me? The Seattle Times?
It will be fun to watch them.
Oh my God, the Seattle
Times. Spend all their money on.
The Seattle Times would have a meltdown.
Oh.
Meltdown. But they've already called me everything they could call me. Right wing, whatever it is. So what are you going to do?
I don't know, they might just ignore.
It would be fun.
It would be fun.
Trump rolling back some of the Biden fuel rules. You guys had a lot of good information on this. Lockman was talking about that auto shutoff feature that I hate. Said it actually destroys engines. You don't get the longevity out of it. Well, maybe that's why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys your engine, so you got to get a new engine, spend money.
Get a new car.
Allison, our company can't work on EV cars inside our shop without special insurance for the fire risk.
Yep.
Interesting. I wonder about home insurance and EV cars. I bet that's a problem.
I actually worry about that a lot because I live in attached condos.
Yep.
And I know two of my neighbors have EVs, and it actually concerns me.
Do you have an escape plan?
Well, I'm not worried about me as much as my cats, like when I'm not there, because I could get out.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about, that's why I'm like, I have cameras to make sure my house isn't on fire.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's kind of a scary thing, though, because garages are attached.
Yeah.
And I hear about those a lot.
Yeah, that's concerning.
It is.
Don Heben, this is a massive deal that will help so many Americans afford good cars. And on Florida Report, Don says, I love DeSantis. He's very intelligent and makes good, witty comments and good points. Take away the incentive from the employer as well. Yeah, that was the one thing in the, if you have an illegal working for you and they get mm-hmm. hurt, and should they get benefits? I mean, the answer is obviously no. But then what punishment does the employer get? The employer should be mm-hmm. punished as well for hiring right. them. So good comments. Good we'll get stuff. To a delicious, thank you, Nicole, mm-hmm. closing sanity check.
Delicious.
But first, I have encouraged you guys for years now to take the First Mark challenge. I mean, I'm a member of the First Mark family. I would not have anyone else handle my insurance. And there's so many reasons to be a member of the First Mark family. Their service is exceptional. They're always checking in proactively, not just with me because we're an advertiser, but with everyone, sending emails saying, hey, has anything changed? How's your insurance policy working? How's everything going? And it's just so nice to have someone on your team. And what happens when you take the First Mark challenge, you go over your current insurance, they'll go out, they'll shop their market of carriers for you, and they'll come back with some recommendations. They might be able to get you better insurance for the same rate. They might be able to get you better insurance for a better rate. In fact, Undivided viewer Christine, she had to change insurance carriers because hers was dissolving. She called First Mark in a little bit of a panic. They said, don't worry, Christine, we got your back. They went out, came back and said, guess what? We can save you $10,000 a year. So it's probably a good thing your carrier dissolved because they sucked. No, I mean, they just weren't doing what they needed to do for her. So Christine's saving $10,000 a year. So take the First Mark challenge today. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Halle Berry. Where's Halle Berry been? I mean, Halle Berry is still so beautiful.
Have you seen her posting pictures in bed with her young
beau?
Whatever he
is. Well, I don't know. She's got it. She should flaunt it. Halle Berry Catwoman is like peak Catwoman.
Yeah.
What do you know? Wait, you don't agree with that? So she spoke at DealBook Summit, which is at the Lincoln Center in New York City. It's an event put on every year by the New York Times where they have, you know, politicians and newsmakers and people in. And she had founded this menopause care company called Respin. So anyway, she's speaking at DealBook. And this is a very liberal. I have a friend who works for the New York Times who helps put DealBook together. Very liberal audience. And I think she's fairly liberal as well. Most celebrities are. And it's also worth noting before I play this clip that Gavin Newsom was speaking after her. So Gavin Newsom was one of the guests at DealBook. So Halle Berry, one of the most famous women in the world, is on stage before Gavin Newsom comes up, and she says this.
Back in my great state of California, my very own governor, Gavin Newsom, has vetoed our menopause bill, not one, but 2 years in a row. But that's okay, because he's not going to be governor forever. And with the way he's overlooked women, half the population, by devaluing us in midlife, he probably should not be our next president either. Just saying.
Oh, my God. Bless you, woman. How awkward is that? You heard the crowd like, oh. Sure, Newsom didn't like that too much. I agree that he should probably never be president, although for a variety of reasons above and beyond just menopause care. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. We will have a fantastic episode of Sundays with Subscribers for our beloved subscribers coming up this week. We're going to be talking, we heard a little bit from him earlier on in the show, talking to Ryan Walters of the Teacher Freedom Alliance on a variety of issues. What he was able to do as the head of public education in Oklahoma, try to fight back against some of this ideology seeping into schools, and now what he's doing in his current capacity to try to rescue sane teachers from the grasp, from the clutches of the teachers' unions. If you would like to become a subscriber, Undivided Eagles, looking at me like, what's wrong with you? UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. And it's $5. Help us give Common Sense a comeback. So subscribers, we'll see you Sunday. The rest of you, I guess, you know, I love you. But come on, man. We'll see you Monday at noon.